From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program, presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id and at RI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, commentary, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz.
Here is the news for the headlines. President Jokowi leads security routine for President-elect inauguration. Indonesian Vice President Maruf Amin vows continued service after October 20th term. Biden urged Israel to stop attacks on UN troops. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian President Joko Widodo proceeded over the routine of Operation Mantap Brata 2024 for securing the inauguration of President-elect Prabowo Subianto and Vice President-elect Gibran Rakabuming Raka in Depok, West Java on Monday. The President then led the security routine ceremony attended by around 15,000 police personnel. In this routine, President Jokowi received the Loka Praja Samraksana Award from the police chief, as the head of state has been considered to significantly support the development of the police organization. At the end of the event, some police units demonstrated their security preparation for the inauguration ceremony of the elected president and vice president on October 20th. Vice President Maruf Amin stated that he will not cease his devotion to the country and the nation even after concluding his term on October 20th. He made this statement during the groundbreaking ceremony for the construction of a mosque and an Islamic boarding school in Bogor District, West Java on Sunday. Amin noted that one of the ways he demonstrates his steadfast devotion to the nation is through the development of Darul Amin Pesantren in the district. On this occasion, the vice president also revealed the name he chose for the mosque, Mambaul Khair. Amin expressed hope that the incoming government led by Prabowo Subianto will sustain various programs implemented by President Joko Widodo's administration to ensure nationwide benefits. Indonesian Youth and Sport Minister Dito Aryo Tejo stated that Indonesia's sport achievement significantly improved during the 10 years of President Joko Widodo's presidency. This was stated by Aryo Tejo at the closing of the 2024 National Paralympic Week or Peparnas in Solo Central Java on Sunday, according to a statement from his ministry on Monday. The minister said that Indonesia has experienced a significant leap in sport achievement at the national and international levels, as reflected in various achievements of athletes in events such as the SEA Games, ASEAN Games, and Olympics. He expressed optimism that Indonesia's sport achievement during President Joko Widodo's presidency will be managed maximally during President-elect Prabowo Subianto's presidency. The Indonesian Ministry of Villages, Development of Disadvantaged Regions, and Transmigration in collaborating with various parties to support village-owned enterprises or BUMDES in becoming food suppliers or service managers of the Free Nutritious Meal Program. Head of the Ministry's Development and Information Agency, Ivanovich Agusta, stated during a webinar on Monday that those parties include the Ministry of Finance, the Ministry of Law and Human Rights, the Ministry of Investment, and the Ministry of Agrarian Affairs and Spatial Planning. In addition, he highlighted that the Ministry of Finance facilitated tax identification numbers for village-owned enterprises. On that occasion, he also drew attention to several requirements that village-owned enterprises must meet to become nutritional service unit managers. One of the requirements is to have a land of 400 square meters with a building area of 200 square meters, as well as cooking equipment that meets the standard of the National Nutritional Agency. The National Research and Innovation Agency, BRIN, presented Indonesia's space research technology at the Asia-Oceania Space Weather Alliance, or AOWA, meeting in Thailand. On Monday, the agency's Space Research Center researchers Johan Muhama presented research titled Solar Activities Forecast System in Indonesia Models and Tools, which explains monitoring and forecasting space weather through the SWIFT system, or Space Weather Information and Forecast Services. The Asia-Oceania Space Weather Alliance Forum is expected to encourage cooperation and information exchange between Indonesia and other countries such as Japan, Malaysia, Australia, and China. Let's move on to the international news, where U.S. President Joe Biden has called on Israel to halt attacks on UN peacekeepings in Lebanon. AFP reported on Sunday that this came as Biden answered a reporter's questions at the White House following an incident that injured a number of the UN peacekeepers. Biden's remarks came amid condemnations of Israel's from the UN Secretary General and its Western allies over attacks on peacekeepers in Lebanon. Earlier, two incidents of Israeli shelling left a number of UN troops injured, prompting strong reaction from various parties for an immediate end to the violence. Pope Francis on Sunday called for respect for UN peacekeepers in Lebanon after they claimed their positions were deliberately shelled by the Israeli military. AFP reported Sunday that in a message from the Vatican, Pope Francis also expressed concerns about the situation in Ukraine and called for attacks on civilians to stop. Pope Francis called on all parties to call for an immediate ceasefire and diplomacy to achieve peace in Lebanon, Gaza, and Ukraine. He also prayed for the victims, refugees, and hostages, and hoped that the suffering caused by the hatred would end soon. Well, listeners, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Here is today's commentary on Israel-Palestine conflict widens to peacekeeping mission. I'm Dalat Pane. The Israel-Palestine conflict just opened a new chapter. After in Gaza and Lebanon, this time, Israel saw the United Nations interim force in Lebanon, UNIFIL, wounding 5 soldiers. 2 of them are from the Indonesian National Army. UNIFIL is a UN peacekeeping mission with 9,500 soldiers from various countries, including Indonesia. UNIFIL is tasked to monitor the ceasefire that ends the war for 33 days between Israel and Hezbollah in 2006. The role of UNIFIL was supported by the UN Security Council Resolution number 1701 at the same year. That says only the Lebanese military and UN peacekeeping mission can be stationed at southern Lebanon. Besides, Israel even established an operation base in a very close distance with UNIFIL's spies. Israel even demanded the UN to remove UNIFIL from the hotspots in South Lebanon and away from the Blue Line, the demarcation line dividing Lebanon and Israel. Some 40 nations contributing to the UNIFIL on Saturday strongly condemned Israel's attack. A joint statement posted on X by the police UN mission, urging the cease of the attack and a proper investigation. The belligerents were urged to respect the presence of UNIFIL, including guaranteeing their personal safety and security at all times. Similarly, Pope Francis on Sunday asked everyone to respect UNIFIL. The leader of the Roman Catholic Church called for an immediate ceasefire in all lines to allow diplomacy and dialogue in a bid for peace. The attack against the peacekeeping mission is a heavy violation against international humanitarian law. A firm sanction must be given to such a violation. The very same assault in Lebanon proved the prediction of a conflict escalation, something that the world is worried about. A big step must be taken by the United Nations as the world's highest organization to put the conflict to an end. When the diplomatic solution became too slow and not influential anymore, some solution that ensured the conflict cessation was necessary. The United Nations Security Council cannot waste more time with an argument ending with veto because human lives and world peace are all at stake. All must urge a new solution to prevent the conflict from turning to another page, because a great danger has been detected in the region. That was commentary.
And listener, that was the news. I'm Nico Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. We begin today's history with an event on October 14, 1968, when the first television broadcast transmitted via space satellite. On October 14, 1968, the Apollo 7 space mission made history for transmitting the first television broadcast live from space. The Apollo 7 mission was led by three astronauts, Don Issel, Wallace Shearer, and Walt Cunningham. Initially, the main purpose of the mission was to test the spacecraft system designed for the moon landing mission. However, on the fourth day, the crew managed to broadcast the conditions inside the aircraft directly to the television. The broadcast showed the actual condition inside the aircraft as well as showing the human side of the astronauts. The astronauts even entertained the viewers with lines like "Keep those cards and letters coming in, folks." Let's move on to the next event on October 14, 1981, when Hosni Mubarak sworn in as President of Egypt. On October 14, 1981, Hosni Mubarak was sworn in as President of Egypt, replacing President Anwar Sadat, who had been assassinated a few days earlier. Mubarak, who had previously served as vice president, rose to power amidst political instability in Egypt. As Egypt's fourth president, he strengthened Egypt's position in the Middle East region and fought for stability at home. During his presidency, he was known as an influential figure in the region and played an important role in the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, despite being considered an authoritarian leader by some people. Mubarak's leadership lasted for almost 30 years until he finally resigned on 11 February 2011 after massive demonstration in Egypt. We entered in history with an event on October 14, 2010, when Indonesian war journalist Hendro Subroto died. On October 14, 2010, Hendro Subroto, senior Indonesian war journalist, passed away. Hendro Subroto was born on December 18, 1938 and began his journalism career with a newsreel cameraman education at TVRI in 1964. He then took television journalism education at OTCA Tokyo, Japan. His first armed conflict coverage was in Sarawak, East Malaysia in 1964 during the Malaysian confrontation. Subroto was recorded to have covered the suppression of the Dei rebellion, East Timor integration, and the removal of 30 September movement victims at Lubang Buaya to the Khmer Rouge coup in Cambodia. Hendro Subroto was also involved in the operation to catch Kahar Muzakar. He covered the Cambodian War, Vietnam, the Gulf War, and the UN humanitarian missions. Subroto was also the founder of FASI, the Federation Aerosports Indonesia. On October 14, 2010, Hendro Subroto passed away at the age of 71 due to the declining of heart function.
Pesona orangnya yang namanya tak kukenal.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's edition of My Indonesia highlights Indonesia becomes ASEAN-Australia Partnership Coordinator. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi announced that Indonesia has been appointed to represent the Association of Southeast Asian Nations or ASEAN countries as the coordinator for the ASEAN-Australia Partnership. It emphasizes cooperation in three key areas, namely politics and security, economy and sociocultural matters. In her statement at the 45th ASEAN Summit in Vientiane, Laos, on Friday, Minister Retno Marsudi highlighted that this year Indonesia will serve as the coordinator for the ASEAN-Australia Partnership for the period of 2024-2027, representing ASEAN nations. The minister also noted that previously Indonesia held the same role or the role of coordinator for the ASEAN-United States or ASEAN-US partnership. At the ASEAN-Australia meeting, which took place as part of the 45th ASEAN Summit series, Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin outlined several cooperation priorities to be advanced within the ASEAN-Australia partnership. In the realm of politics and security, ASEAN aims to strengthen efforts in countering terrorism and transnational crimes. According to him, in the economic pillar, the focus is on effectively implementing various economic agreements, such as the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, the ASEAN-Australia-New Zealand Free Trade Agreement, and Australia-Southeast Asia Economic Strategy to 2040. Minister Retno Marsudi emphasized that Australia-Southeast Asia Economic Strategy aims to position ASEAN as a priority anchor for deepening economic cooperation up to 2040. Regarding the sociocultural pillar, ASEAN will continue to promote enhanced cooperation in education, cultural exchanges, and people-to-people connections, including optimizing the role of the ASEAN-Australia Center. During the high-level meeting between ASEAN heads of states and Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, Vice President Ma'ruf Amin stressed two key points in addressing the current global geopolitical landscape. First, he underscored the need to promote global peace and stability as a shared responsibility, including ASEAN and Australia. He emphasized that as a diverse region, all parties must work together to avoid conflicts and escalating tensions. Second, he asserted that international law must be upheld in all regions, including Palestine, and that there should be no double standards. The Vice President called for all parties to support collaborative efforts towards peace rather than prolonging conflicts, including through the two-state solution and the recognition of Palestinian independence. That was My Indonesia Today.
Pandai berdusta, jujur saja kau boleh juga. Tak bisa ku pungkiri hatinya mentiap kau ada.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The waters of Tolo Bay are geographically part of central Sulawesi and are home to a huge marine life. The rich biodiversity makes Tolo Bay a popular destination for marine tourism. The beauty of these waters can be experienced from Sombori Island, located in the southern part of the bay, specifically in Morowali Regency, between South Bungku and Menui Islands. Sombori is a conservation area made up of coral islands. Its small islands resemble Raja Ampat in West Papua, which has earned the nickname Miniature of Raja Ampat. Listener, some part of Sombori Island are home to fishermen, but much of the area also remains untouched by humans. To reach Sombori, you can start from Kendari, the capital of Southeast Sulawesi, and choose between land or sea routes. The land route takes about 6 hours to drive to Lafeu Port in Bungku Pesisir, followed by a 1 hour boat ride to the island. Alternatively, traveling by sea takes about half a day, while a speed boat can cover the distance in 4 to 5 hours. Listener, as you approach Sombori, you will be greeted by breathtaking views. The waves of the sea and the cliffs surrounding on both sides are creating a stunning scene. Once you get into the deeper part of the island,
the views become even more mesmerizing, with clusters of coral islands in various sizes and shapes. Some are just bare rocks, while others are large, lushly vegetated islands with exotic tropical greenery. These coral islands have wide sand beaches, offering a pristine paradise. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Sambakan bunga abadi yang kupetik untuknya dalam perjalanan menuju ke abadi yang hidup tiada duka, hidup tiada lara. Terpendam jauh dalam diriku, di dalam hidupku. Oh, apalah arti dari semua yang tercipta tanpa kehadirannya di sini.
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian. in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology.
Hello, welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Di Bali. Di Bali, which means in Bali. You will listen to a conversation about seharusnya, seharusnya, which means should be. The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and a domestic tourist at Tita Empul Temple, a popular destination in Gianyar Regency, Bali. And Chris and the domestic tourist are reading a regulation of Tita Empul Temple. Then they talk about what should be done at the temple.
Supaya memakai pakaian adat. Berarti saya harus memakai pakaian adat Bali.
Betul, seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini.
Aduh, saya tidak punya.
Jangan khawatir, kita bisa meminjam kain adat yang disediakan.
After listening to the conversation, here are some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic. Seharusnya, seharusnya, which means should be. I will say it 2 times slowly, and please repeat after me. Seharusnya, seharusnya, which means should be. Memakai, memakai, which means wear. Pakaian, pakaian, which means clothing. Pakaian adat. Pakaian adat, which means customary clothing. Bali, Bali, which means Bali. Area, area, which means area. Pura, pura, which means temple. Seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini. Seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini, which means we should be wearing Balinese customary clothing around the temple. Jangan, jangan, which means don't. Khawatir, khawatir, which means worry. Jangan khawatir, jangan khawatir, which means don't worry. Kain, kain, which means clothes. In this conversation, you will hear the expression seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini. Seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini, which means we should be wearing Balinese customary clothing around the temple. In the expression, there is the word seharusnya, which means should be. The word means that something is required to be done in an activity. This means wearing Balinese traditional clothing is required at Tita Empul Temple. Another example. Let's listen to another use of the word seharusnya, which means should be. Seharusnya Anda menjaga kebersihan di area pura. Seharusnya Anda menjaga kebersihan di area pura, which means you should keep cleanliness around the temple. Seharusnya kita naik motor ke pura ini. Seharusnya kita naik motor ke pura ini, which means we should take a motorbike to the temple. Tirtambul Temple is a temple for Balinese Hindu in Bali, which is also a favorite tourism destination. The temple is located in Gianyar Regency. At Tirtambul Temple, visitors can join the Malukat, a purification ritual in a hallowed pool. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, here's another round of the conversation.
Supaya memakai pakaian adat. Berarti saya harus memakai pakaian adat Bali.
Betul, seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini.
Aduh, saya tidak punya.
Jangan khawatir, kita bisa meminjam kain adat yang disediakan.
Listener, that's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about seharusnya. Seharusnya, which means should be. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve. Sampai jumpa.
Di peluk ibumu
You are still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today I play you a song called Hujan Gerimis or Drizzle by Orkes Keroncong by Tuan Gembira. This song was originally sung by the iconic Jakarta-born singer Benyamin Sueb and was released in the early 1970s under Gema Nada Pertiwi record label. Written by Benyamin Sueb and later performed along with Ida Royani, Hujan Gerimis has been available on digital platforms since March 26, 2019. By combining simple and humorous lyrics, the song explores themes of love and matchmaking. It encourages listeners not to dwell on sadness, but to find a new love if their partner leaves. Well, listener, here is the version of Hujan Gerimis by Orkes Keroncong and Tuan Gembira. Happy listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Jangan dekat atau jangan datang kepadaku lagi. Aku semakin tersiksa karena tak memilikimu. Ku coba jalani hari dengan pengganti dirimu, tapi hatiku selalu berpihak lagi padamu. Mengapa semua ini terjadi kepadaku? Tuhan, maafkan diri ini yang tak pernah bisa menjauh dari ingat tentangnya. Namun apalah daya ini bila ternyata sesungguhnya aku terlalu cinta dia. Tapi hatiku selalu berpihak lagi padamu. Mengapa semua ini terjadi kepadaku? Tuhan, maafkan diri ini yang tak pernah bisa menjauh dari angan tentangnya. Namun apalah daya ini bila ternyata sesungguhnya aku terlalu cinta dia.
Voice of Indonesia.
We DIY listener, thank you so much for listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz, voinews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile App. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our social media accounts, Facebook fanpage, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at VOI_official. Or send email to voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.